Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello there, I'm Chris Difford and welcome to the podcast I never thought it would happen, made in collaboration with the wonderful charity Help Musicians. I'm delighted to say that today I'm joined by a remarkable singer-songwriter whose first album sold 27 million copies. The album was called Come Away With Me. She started her life in Texas, but quickly moved to the New York jazz scene. She has duetted with Ray Charles, Danger Mouse, that's a weird one, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton and Herbie Hancock. That's quite an amazing coming together, I would have said. So please welcome to my humble little podcast, the beautiful and wonderful Norah Jones. Hey there. Welcome to the Help Musicians, I Never Thought It Would Happen podcast. I'm here in London, and I guess you're in Los Angeles, is that correct?
I'm in New York.
New York, even better. Even closer, I'd say.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real thrill. In fact, we've got mutual friends in New York, I think. Adam Levy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was in my band for a long time.
I played with him for a bit, yeah. So cool. It's really great to have you here. And this charity, Help Musicians, is an incredible place for young musicians and writers who are looking to get themselves out of difficulty. During COVID, Help Musicians paid out 20 million plus pounds to musicians who couldn't get their foot out the door for obvious reasons.
Amazing.
I was just wondering if you knew of a charity that worked with musicians like that in America.
Yeah, there's the Music Cares Foundation. They do a lot of good work, and I know they're able to help people very quickly, which is also ideal.
Yeah.
And there's a few.
Yeah, I mean, well-being is something that is so important these days, and for people in bands, I mean, back in the golden days, which I can barely remember myself, it was all about turning up in a raw state, but today things have changed. Do you sense that too?
Yeah, things are very different now. People talk about it a lot, and it's become very normal to think about that stuff, which is good.
With your band, when you're out on the road, do you have like a way that sort of keeps everybody happy?
I mean, I don't think we're partiers. I've never really been in a party scene.
No.
So that's probably just our natural inclination. But I try to not have too early flights or anything, because that's always disruptive to your flow.
Yeah.
But we keep it pretty mellow.
That's good though, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's great. It makes it fun.
When you're younger, when I was younger anyway, mellow wasn't a word I understood. Was it something that you kind of grew up with?
I think I understood it probably a little better. But it's always fun to hang out after the show and have a few drinks. So I definitely fell into that a little bit. But I don't know. I've never gone too crazy.
No. I envy the fact that you used to sing in a church. I would love that. I mean, I sing in a church here, but it's not the same as in Texas. What was that like?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, it was probably my first real exposure to singing. and especially in front of people. Yeah, it was a great way to learn. I think it was a nice informal setting, you know, because it's focused on praising God and not how good you can sing. I felt like, you know, it's a kind of nice when people come up in church playing music, it's like it takes the focus away from the things that don't matter. The real intention is to play music to spread a message or, you know, convey a feeling. And that really is, in the end, what it should be about, actually. So even when you're not in church. So it's kind of a nice way to go about it.
Well, I think at your concerts, it's probably like that, you know, and people attach themselves to the sound the beautiful sound of your voice and your wonderful songs, and they probably get taken to a higher power as if they were in a church. At least I'd like to hope so.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, right? Yeah,
it's called the peak experience.
That's what you hope for. Yeah, that's what you want.
And have you ever recorded in Texas?
Not really. I did when I was in college. Yeah, I did an album with a band I was in called Laszlo. But it was pretty early on. Other than that, no, I have not. I've never gone back to record there either.
Is writing a very private thing for you? Is it something you can share with other people?
It's both. I love writing in the studio with someone, bouncing ideas off of each other. That's kind of how the new album came about.
Oh, yeah.
With Leon Michaels. But a lot of stuff happens privately, too. There's some songs that kind of came from my own world. And, yeah, they were just sort of my little moment writing. It can happen both ways. I like it both ways.
Yeah. And what's Leon like? He sounds like a very inspirational person.
He's cool. He's just really fun and easy to play music with. And we had a lot of fun just playing. He would play drums and I'd play piano and we would just get the form of a song down and honestly have so much fun playing music, you know, that heart beating fast kind of fun.
Yeah.
That I think that really comes across on the record, which is great because I think that adds to the joyfulness of this record.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about is the joy, I think.
Yeah, even in the sadness, even in the sad songs, it's the joy of getting it out and playing it and expressing it.
So is it a bit like therapy for you, writing?
Probably, but I don't really ever realize it until after the fact.
Yeah.
I never know what I'm writing about as directly as I do months later, you know. You can kind of look back on it and really realize, oh yeah, that's totally that period.
Yeah, I share that. I do. I really do. I write a lyric and then 6 months later I go, oh no, that's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a way of getting it out, though, you know?
Well, sometimes it can be cheaper than therapy.
Definitely cheaper.
You can lay on your own bed and talk to yourself for hours. It's great fun.
Exactly.
When's the most inspirational part of the day for you?
I don't get inspired every day, but I often come up with ideas in the bathtub because the door is locked and nobody's asking me questions.
Yeah.
Children specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes those moments in meditations, same reason, I think, because you're quiet, or those moments between being awake and being asleep, or if I'm taking a walk and I'm smart enough to not stick headphones in my ears and listening to something, I can just let my mind wander and a song usually sort of flows through.
Yeah, I know sometimes when I put my head on the pillow and an idea comes, I get really annoyed.
Yeah, because you don't want to wake up.
So I try and kid myself, like, if I can remember this in the morning, then it's a great idea.
Yeah, but do you ever?
Do I ever? Occasionally, actually. Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, I never do. Sometimes I'll tell myself I'll remember it, and then I'll come up with tricks to remember it. Okay, that's a five chord, and then a four chord, and then a six minor six, and I think the melody is and then I'm like, damn it, I'll just wake up and do a voice memo. It is so quick, you know?
Yeah, really. So when you're a teenager, who was the first live music that you went to see?
Honestly, I think I went to see MC Hammer.
Wow, in the big trousers.
I think I was around 12 or 13. And then after that, I didn't really see a lot of live music unless I went and saw a lot of jazz as a teenager, because Dallas had a nice little jazz scene, and that's the kind of music I got into at that time.
And what kind of jazz singers do you love? Do you like listening to?
I love Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan. You know, all the old greats.
Yeah. Is there anybody new that you can put your finger on like that?
I don't listen to a lot of new music in that style. I tend to love the old music, but I mean, there's so many new people that are amazing. I mean, there's like a million people. I really like people who make it their own these days, you know? That music is so incredible, but it's so hard to sing the same old standards and be saying something new with it, you know? So I think it's nice when people can find their own voice and writing music, and that's my favorite, when somebody comes out of nowhere and can't be classified, you know what I mean? No genre.
Well, exactly what you have achieved, I think. Somebody like Gregory Porter too, you know, come onto the into the world with a unique view of singing and the songs that you sing, and they touch people's imaginations and hearts in a very deep way. Is that something you must feel very proud of?
I do feel proud, actually. I never think to feel proud. I usually say I feel lucky that I've had this career, but I do feel proud of it as well, because I think, you know, I really stayed open musically, and I've been surprised at all the different places I've been able to go and all the different ways I've been able to stretch myself. And it's really a wonderful thing to be excited. I'm almost more excited about music the last 5 years than in the beginning. And I was always excited about it, but it hasn't waned. And I think that's a really wonderful feeling.
That's incredible. Yeah, it does get better, I think. It does get better.
It does.
I mean, I guess when you're a teenager, you kind of take it for granted in a way. Some people do. I guess I did. But, you know, as you mature, you know, listening to your new album, the maturity in it is extraordinary. It's so strong. And it's optimistic in many ways, too.
That's cool. I don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was when we were making it. We were just doing it, you know. It's always funny to hear people's reactions to something you've spent a lot of time on, because in the end, you don't really know what it's all about. You know what it's about to you, but you don't know how people are going to see it or put words around it. So that's fun. I like the way you said it.
And then you have to be able to let go of your record as well. Are you good at that?
I am good at that. I think after the first record, it was so crazy, and it was received in so many different ways, and it was so successful that there was a backlash, and of course, you hear that loudly, even though it's a small portion of an ocean of accolades, you know, but I learned to let go of all of it then, because you can't really control that, and you can't please everyone, and that's what art is about. It's super subjective, and you got to just really feel strongly about what you're doing and love it yourself. And that's really all you can do. And then you got to let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said to me, if you can't let go while you're still holding on. And I think that's a pretty good phrase, really.
Yeah, it is.
And to learn from it, you know, I think songwriting is something that as writers, we can learn from all the time. When we look back at, like you look back at your first album, the enormous success of it, there's lots to learn from that, I guess.
I guess. I mean, I also think I don't look back at it that much. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward more. I mean, I sing those songs all the time and I love them. So I guess I look back in that way, but I'm mostly looking forward. I only look back during interviews. Because that's what everybody likes to talk about. And that's fine.
I know. What kind of meditation do you do?
I do TM, the Transcendental Meditation. I really like it because I tried different kinds of guided meditations and I liked it, but I couldn't really focus. I have a hard time focusing.
Yeah.
And so I like the TM because you're really just sort of focusing on the word, and I often forget about it and I go down a wormhole of to-do lists and songs and whatever. But then I always come back to the word, and then it's kind of like a reminder. But it's just, it works for me.
And is that an everyday event?
If I'm lucky, it is. I'm not so lucky. I've been sort of back into it lately, but there mm-hmm. was a couple years there where I sort of fell off. But it often turns into a nap. I'm not going to lie. And I'm always okay with that because it means I must have needed that nap, you know, and I'm not like a nap.
Really.
I've definitely never been a napper, so it's a nice way to just sort of rest.
Yeah, I've just started getting used to napping, and there's like a door that you go through, and in just between the door and the corridor that you enter, there's some really deep things going on, and then you're gone.
Yep, it's great. And that's what the meditation is, I feel like. It's that space between
the door and the corridor.
Yeah.
What was it like singing with the other people? Like, did you sing with Willie Nelson or for Willie Nelson?
Yeah, I've sang with Willie a few times. It's always a special thing. My favorite thing I've done with him, I mean, I've done a lot with him and it's all been amazing, but a few months back, I came to his show in Queens and I played piano for the whole show because his sister Bobby, you know, passed away a year or two ago. And I admired her. I loved her. She was one of my favorite piano players. And I just love them so much. And, you know, she's been gone and they've had a piano player filling in, but he had another gig. And so Mickey Raphael, the harmonica player, asked if I would come sit in for the show in Bobby's chair. And it was just such a joy to sit there and play with Willie. And, you know, he'll throw you a solo and you don't know when it's coming or what, but the songs are all very simple and it's all kind of like pretty straightforward and fun. And just watching him sing and phrase around stuff is crazy. And his guitar playing is amazing still. And he's 90 years old. So
90. Wow.
Yeah. That was a real fun thing a few months back because I've known him 20 years now. And it's been a pleasure getting to sort of dip in musically with him here and there. You know, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah. He's so incredible. His voice on the records that he's made in the last 5 years is stronger than ever, I guess.
Yeah, it's great. And he's still writing amazing songs from a really unique perspective of being at this stage in life and looking at everything in a very specific way. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, there's a few people that have managed that. Leonard Cohen did that, didn't he? His posthumous album was extraordinary lyrically.
Yeah, I mean, what a perspective, you know, going at that end of life.
And David Bowie too. I mean, that was extraordinary.
Oh, I love that album. Yeah. Ugh. Really heartbreaking.
Really heartbreaking. And somebody, a friend of mine who was working on that record, said that they had no idea what was going on at all.
Yeah.
But he would turn up every day and he'd be bright as a bush and there was no conversation about illness at all. I mean, you know, it's just like, we're just making a new David Bowie album.
Yeah, that's crazy.
My name is Soltan Stevenson and I'm one of the thousands that are very proud to be supported by pop musicians. I'm a jazz pianist. I write my own tunes. I perform my own tunes. I recorded an album, my debut album, in 2022 and released it in 2023. And I love playing to people, and that's a bit about me. I think the very first spark was definitely through my father. His name is John Stevenson, and he used to run, I think, Barbados' only jazz radio show. And then when the family moved to England in 2000 to raise me, my dad still kept all of his CDs, which were enough to fill pretty much every room inside of that house. So like every bedroom, the bathroom, the living room, the kitchen, the garage, the car, my bedroom, everything was full of CDs. That was kind of the first reference point, and I just grew up seeing like a Branford Marsalis CD next to a Ella Fitzgerald CD next to a Yellow Jacket CD. So, you know, he had a very eclectic collection. And actually, to be honest, when I was young, when I was maybe 7, 8, I really actually despised jazz. I didn't really like jazz at all. I found it such a mystifying music. I wanted to learn an instrument, and it was the saxophone because it looked really cool. And I thought, when you're like 7 or 8, you don't really see many saxophonists. You see a lot of pianists, and you see a lot of drummers, and you see a lot of guitarists. I wanted to be a bit different. So I pestered my dad. I was like, Dad, I really want to learn saxophone. My dad said, okay, we'll check in with the school and see if they have a saxophone teacher and hopefully a saxophone that we can maybe rent or buy. And he went to them and they said, sorry, but we don't have any saxophones or saxophone teachers. So my dad went back to me and said, well, sorry, son, but they don't have any saxophones. But why don't you learn piano? Because piano is, you know, it's like the mother of all instruments. And so I said, okay, I'll learn the piano. And I think within 10 minutes, I didn't want to learn saxophone anymore. I wanted to become a pianist because I love piano. That's when the love for jazz and the appreciation for jazz came about. And I was really hooked, you know, really loved all of it. I had an amazing teacher at secondary school. She was actually a conga player, but she just happened to be an amazing, amazing pianist. She kind of developed my fundamentals for the piano and my technique and inspired me to write music and to think a bit more deeply about music. Then in 2020, when lockdown happened, I began writing a lot and a lot of music. I hadn't really written before that time, and eventually it led up to an album entitled Faithful One, released last year with the very generous help of Help Musicians, who funded much of the project. And that was an amazing, amazing experience because it was almost like I could finally record them professionally in a really, really lovely studio down in St. Newington. And along with my hero, Dennis Baptiste, who features on the record as well, as well as my amazing trio of Joel Waters on drums and Jacob Griddle at the bass. It's very, very hard to record music as a jazz musician, mainly because you can't really do it from your home. You know, in other genres of music, you can kind of, I guess, set up your own home studio and you can kind of do a lot of stuff yourself. But with jazz, it's acoustic and you have to have proper recording equipment, proper microphones. It's reliant on real acoustic instruments, so good sounding piano, a good sounding drum kit and a good bass as well. So it's a bit more tricky and it's a bit more harder to self-fund. So, you know, I applied for the Help Musicians grant and was very lucky to have received the funding, which made it possible to record the album. The album was released in March 2023, and the album launch at the Jazz Cafe was a week later. But that was an amazing, amazing experience. I think we actually sold it out completely. Right now, at least, that will always be one of the biggest moments ever. Because obviously Jazz Cafe is such a renowned venue. Loads of people have played there. Loads of my heroes have played there. And then further on in the year, I think this was in September of 2023 now, I was nominated for the Parliamentary Jazz Award in the field of the newcomer of the year. So I went to the award ceremony very happily along with my two very supportive parents. And it was an amazing night because I, you know, it was like seeing all of your heroes. And I was sitting there and it kept finally, I think because the Jazz Newcomer of the Year category was towards the end. So I had a long wait and I couldn't really eat as well because there was like loads of great food. But, you know, my belly was kind of, that's what my belly tends to do. It's like I can't really eat before. And then it finally got to the Newcomer of the Year. And they're like, okay, so the Newcomer of 2023 is, and then I don't think I actually really registered when they read my name out, but I saw a lot of people looking at me and my mum kind of grinning at me and stuff. So I went up there and got to the award, which was really, really amazing. And I have to thank everyone who nominated me. It's something I'd actually written down on my application. I think there's a part in the application where they say, what would you like to happen out of this release? Or what would you like this project to accomplish? Or worse to that effect. And I remember writing down, I would like to win an award for the record. And even remember saying, I hope one day to actually win a mobile award for a release of mine. So, you know, I'm working trying to work towards that. And of course, loads of love for Help Musician, because it's the album that I believe really helped for me to win that award in the first place.
Help Musicians is a charity for working musicians across the UK. To find out more about the support they offer, why they do what they do, and how to support them in creating a world where musicians can thrive, visit helpmusicians.org.uk or find them on social media today.
How honest can you be about your life in your lyrics?
I'm pretty honest, and then I dress it up at the end if it's too honest. I put a little hat or gloves on it, spin it around a few times, you know. But I like to not do that until the end, because I don't want to prevent anything good from coming out.
And was Leon kind of somebody that you could lean on the whole time?
Yeah, there were a few songs that were already written, but yeah, a lot of the songs came from sort of snippets I had, and we fleshed them out together, and then some stuff we just wrote in the studio together.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun. It's a very easy relationship. It's like a very good musical flow, and,
yeah,
you know, he records everything. We did do a few things in the studio with an engineer and a Fuller band, but I feel like almost maybe 70% of the stuff was just me and Leon in the room, just the two of us, and he's recording everything as well as playing and, mm-hmm, and everything.
Yeah, the Dap Kings, wow.
Yeah, he came up in the Dap Kings.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he's super cool. He's definitely one of the cooler people I've ever worked with.
If you you're having a bad day, or you're not hitting the muscle, you know, you're kind of not getting there, is there somebody that you can lean on? Somebody that's like not a mentor, but somebody who will honestly listen to your story?
Are you talking about musically?
Spiritually, emotionally.
Oh, I mean, my friends, you know.
Yeah.
My friends are pretty great. Got a lot of good, strong girlfriends. And some good guy friends, too. But, a really good group of girlfriends that I feel very supported by. Hopefully I support them in the same way you like to hope that you're a good friend to people, you know?
Yeah, I'm jealous of girlfriends. Girls seem to have their really great sort of way of holding each other. Guys are less like that, you know. If I wanted to talk to somebody about my deep feelings, I'd have to go to some kind of spiritual meeting rather than ring up a friend, you know. But girls, they're on the phone all the time sorting things out.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I can call on them.
So going back to when you're a kid again, why did you go and see MC Hammer?
Because he was hot. He was the hot thing. I loved him. I don't know. I went with a friend. A friend of my mom's took me. I was on a trip to Alaska. We had lived in Alaska, and I went back to visit, and the woman I was staying with took me. I have no idea why. Maybe it was her idea, but I loved MC Hammer then, because that's what was big, you know?
Yeah. I can only remember the trousers and the moving from side to side.
I could sing a few songs.
Okay, fair enough. I bet you could. So your record collection, I guess with your family, it must have been huge.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with my mom, and she had a really big record collection. She was always loving music. It's so funny. I found this Ray Charles album. She had this Ray Charles What I Say album. I have all her vinyl now because she doesn't have a record player anymore,
okay,
which is too bad. She should.
Yeah.
but she doesn't, so I have it all. And I was playing for my kids her old vinyl of What I Say, the Ray Charles album, and it's just the cutest thing I've ever seen on the back. It has her name and address and the year, and it's from when she was in high school. And she has like three tracks circled, and one says good dancing song, and one says like, this one's cool. It was just like so sweet to have
amazing.
That and have like her writing on it and how she was thinking about it, you know. Yeah, she had Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, Ray Charles, a lot of Aretha Franklin. And then she had a really big collection of Brazilian music.
Interesting.
She lived in Brazil in the early 60s, whenever there was a lot of good music going on.
Do you enjoy dancing?
I love to dance. I'm not a great dancer. I'm more like Elaine from Seinfeld. I do like it.
I can picture that. I'm sure when you get on stage, you got to get going, haven't you, really?
Definitely not on stage.
No.
No, not in public.
No. But music moves you in different ways, I guess.
No, there's nothing like a good dance party.
Yeah. What kind of record would you put on if you were having a dance party?
I would hire Leon to DJ.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah.
He'd be really good at that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's a good DJ.
Have you ever seen Dylan, Bob Dylan?
Yeah, not in a long time. Maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, he's another lyricist that just springs to mind that is kind of very good at sort of portraying where he is in his life.
Yeah, he is. He's, I mean, he's one of the best, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I guess, oh, is that your dog or my dog?
It's yours. My dog is not here right now.
Oh, wow. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I didn't even hear it.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was just my brain.
The dog in your brain.
The dog brain, yeah. So are you coming over to tour in the UK?
Not right now, but I was just there a few months ago and I had so much fun, so I'm mm-hmm. excited to come again. Yeah, we played all over. It was so great. I haven't been there in years.
Mm. Rufus Wainwright was just here, who I love, and he was playing just down the street from me. It was really annoying. I seem to miss everybody that comes
by.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Have you played any of the festivals here, like Glastonbury? I think you may have done, yeah.
I did Glastonbury once in, I think it was 2009 or 10. It was really fun. It was so fun. I opened for Slash, and then we got on the bus and we went to Stonehenge. So it was pretty much one of the more epic days in music.
What did you make of all those stones?
That was beautiful. And it was sunset. It was insane. It was like you couldn't have timed it any better.
That is incredible.
It was incredible, yeah.
It's an incredible part of the world. I mean, I've come off stage there in tears. It's just such an emotional trip being at Glastonbury.
It really is. Those festivals are so intense. I want to do more festivals. I don't know. I haven't done that many, but at that level, yeah, but it's pretty special.
Definitely come back to Glastonbury. Come back this year. I've got a stage you can come on.
Yeah, sure.
So do you think beyond the album, you know, you say you like to think in the future?
Sometimes I do. Right now I'm not. I don't know what's next. Right now I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't overthink stuff. So
no.
I sort of wait to see where the wind is blowing.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. It's less stressful.
Well, it is, and you're lucky because you're an artist in your own right. When you're in a band, it's kind of very different. You have to go with everybody's wind, just not your own.
Yeah, that's why I think I'm very lucky. I agree.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
I like to be the captain of my ship. But I'm in a couple of bands that I've enjoyed, and, you know, but I don't know. I like that I get to do both and not just one.
So you can be a team player as well.
Yeah, I can be, yeah. But, you know, the schedule is important.
Mm-hmm. Who would you like to co-write with these days, apart from Leon, obviously?
I don't know. I don't really think in terms of that. I think of in terms of, you know, I've been doing this podcast where I get together with people and we play music in the room.
Wow.
That's the podcast. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great, actually.
I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, you haven't heard it? It's pretty cool.
Wow.
It's called Nora Jones is Playing Along. I've done over 30 episodes, and it's so fun because we just sit down and we talk and we play about four songs over the course of the hour. And it's been a really fun way to sort of collaborate with people in a very casual, mellow way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. That I think more in terms of that than like, who do I want to write with? I don't think about writing as something I need to do with somebody.
No.
But if it happens, I'm very happy for it to happen, you know?
Yeah, that's incredible.
I don't seek it out, you know? I seek out more energy and musicianship than who do I want to write with?
Yeah.
I don't think about it in that way.
Especially at the end of a great album that you've just finished.
Well, no, but just in general, that's kind of how I go about things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you have a hobby outside of music?
I try to sometimes. I like to be active. I like to ski and I like to go for walks. And I try to be active every day in some way, which is hard. And I have a pottery class I keep not going to that I used to have as my hobby. I've literally signed up for like 3 sessions that I have not gone to. But I've just been kind of busy. But yeah, I think it's important to have something outside of your work to take your mind off of things outside of your family life as well.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky enough to have something, it's really nice.
It is. But you have to have some kind of discipline for that. And that's quite tricky, I think, as a musician.
Yeah, because music is also kind of your hobby.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, people say, oh, are you going to go to work? I say, actually, no, I'm not going to go to work. I'm doing a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about this job is that it's fun, for sure.
It is. I mean, I guess the traveling is work. That feels like work. But
yeah, the music never feels like work.
Not at all. No, it's joyous. And your new record is full of joy and optimism, and it's been wonderful talking to you, Nora. Thank you so much for giving up your time, and I'm going to jump straight on your podcast.
Okay, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're welcome. God bless you.
You too. Have a great day.
Thank you. Oh, wow, what a lovely, calm person Nora is. Fantastic. Despite the fact that she's sold over 50 million albums, she seems to be very grounded. She talks about not being able to dance, yet I've just had a look on YouTube and I think she dances pretty well. Nora is a very inspirational artist, not just for me, but for many other people that I know. So thank you very much, Nora Jones. If you want to know more about the amazing work of Help Musicians, do them please take a little time to look at their website. Follow them on social media like I do. Spare a little of your hard-earned cash if you have any. And please consider donating a little money to the charity. As you hear in every episode, they do incredible work supporting musicians of all types across the UK. They really do change people's lives for the better. They've certainly changed mine, and it's been a very emotional journey speaking to so many musicians. Keep coming back. I Never Thought It Would Happen is a Give Me Sugar production for Help Musicians.